have, we know some requests we need to pray for is Joel, and we're thankful that he's doing quite well. And Becky, I don't know anything about what is latest on her, but I continue to pray for her. Still be in the hospital for quite a while yet. Okay. Are there any other? Yeah.
I think we all need to realize that there was actually a miraculous miracle that took place with Joel.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
So, thank you all for the prayers that you have given in his behalf, if you knew about it. And all we can say is praise God, praise the Lord, praise his holy name.
Amen. Well, if those who can would kneel, we'll have our prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for this Sabbath day, this beautiful weather that we have, and for this time that we have to still meet in your house of worship without any hindrances. And we thank you for the good reports that we hear for Joel, that his miraculous healing, and we ask for his continued recovery and be restored back to full health. We pray for Becky that she will be doing much better soon. Guide the doctors and all the health people that are taking care of her, and restore her back to good health again soon, if it is your will. Be with others in our church that may have unspoken requests, and we also pray for Brendan's eye, that he will soon have full use of his eye again, and it will not hinder him. And we ask for blessing and your Holy Spirit on Pastor Omar, who will be given the sermon today. And we thank you for your care and your blessings upon us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
I do have an update. I did text Laura this morning and asked how Becky was doing, because I told her that we were praying for her and to give a good big hug from Brewster Church, and she said, thank you. Hi there. I will tell her. She is doing better every day. She might be moving to a skilled nursing facility on Monday or Tuesday. If she does go there, it probably won't be for very long, though. We are also hoping to get the biopsy report back by Monday or Tuesday as well. So we need to continue praying for her, because it's going to be kind of a long haul. So, but we do praise that Joel, and you know, that is a miracle. And we never need to give up. We need to pray for our children and our grandchildren every day. So anyway, our scripture is from Philippians 4:8, and it's I'm reading from the New King James Version. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Amen.
Bill, will you come up here for a second? So a few years back, Carol and I had the privilege of going as missionaries to a foreign country. It's an amazing experience, one that Bill is acquainted with. He's done it before. But there's something about having a church behind you when you head off to the unknown. Different culture, different language, different ways of dealing with things. Life is complicated in sometimes beautiful ways. And so I want to take an opportunity this morning to pray with you. I want to come down here in front and invite others to come up and join put our hands on Bill and send him off with the blessing of our church and blessing of God as he heads off to Cambodia. You're going to be teaching, right?
I'll be teaching. Yes.
Yeah. So it's an amazing opportunity. It's one that will probably it's a job description that'll probably morph into other things, but God's going to use them in a mighty way. So let's just take an opportunity and just come right down here. Invite. Invite anybody to come on up and. Create a circle around you.
This, let me tell you.
So let's pray together. Father in heaven, so you know what you have planned for Bill as he heads off. You've worked out miracles to make it happen. You've prepared him, and now as a church we want to just say thank you for that. And as he heads off here very soon, we ask that you just send your spirit to bless him, make his ministry so effective. And as he continues to serve in perhaps difficult situations, help us to continue to hold him up and to build him up in prayer here. So bless his ministry, bless who he's going to be connecting with, and bless his family. Amen. So.
We would like to have one more prayer, but I don't see her. Emma, if you could come up to the front, we'd love to have a sweet 16 birthday prayer for you. Jesus. the mother's room, I think. There's movement back there, so I think she's... Maybe. They might not. You're not allowed to be shy around here. All right, let's pray for Emma. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for Emma and for bringing her into our church family. Thank you, Lord, that she is such a wonderful mom and young lady. Thank you that she is having another birthday today. Thank you for her 16 years. In your name, amen.
Thank you. Birthday.
Happy Sabbath again. I'm not going to preach. I'm not. We just pray that my husband get here very soon. It's hard. It's hard coming from the other side of Pateros all the way to Brewster, but hopefully he get here safely. In the meantime, his sermon title is For a Time Like This. And I just wanted to reflect in some Bible verses until he got here, because that's what we come, right? We come here to praise the Lord, and let's just meditate on some verses. Hopefully he will use them. Maybe not, but at least it goes with the title of the sermon. Definitely we can say that we're living in very interesting times, and there are always Bible verses that can lift us up and cheer us in difficult times. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. On whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27:1. This is one verse that I have read to my son, especially when he went to middle school. That was a scary time for him. So I read this verse to him. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Psalms 23:4 said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Lamentations 3:22-23 said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for his faithfulness, right? Every morning we have his blessings. John 14:27 said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Psalms 46:1 said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. 2 Corinthians 1:3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. John 16:33 said, I have said these things to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen for that. Isaiah 49:13. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. Matthew 5:4 said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Psalms 55:22 said, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And I'm going to read the last one, which is Romans 8:37-39. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, no powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. I made it. We had so many visitors in Chelan today out of nowhere, and I was just like, oh. And it was a member that I haven't met yet that brought her whole family in. So thank you, baby. Gotta love those wives, right? Well, mine is just single wife. But. All right. So it was very exciting to see so many chairs filled there today. All right. How's everyone doing today? Good? Did my wife promote VBS pretty good? That means that everybody's going to sign up? No. All right. I wanted to, before I get started, I got a message from Debbie, and she wanted me to share it with the congregation, as I'm pretty sure are you aware of Joel's situation? And she wanted me to read this to you all, or share this with you. Our precious church family, Debbie and I want to thank you all for your prayers on my behalf. Without your prayers, I wouldn't be home today. This is Joel speaking. We saw a miracle in the healing that happened to me after I suffered a stroke on Tuesday this week. We are confident God has great plans ahead for us, and we trust his leading. God is good and is close to those who love him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So that was a little message from Joel. Debbie has sent it to me, and I wanted to share it with y'all. Let us go ahead and have a word of prayer so that we can dive into God's word today. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the opportunity given us to be able to not only just sit here and enjoy, service and fellowship, but also enjoy your presence. Father, as we search scriptures, as we listen to your word, may you bless me, and may I speak your words. And secondly, may we be able to accept the words from your word, Father. May it drive deep into our hearts and our minds, and may it transform us in a way where we will come out here wanting to share it, practice it, live it to the fullest. We love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. When I was about 19 years old, I don't know if I recall telling you guys a story about me working the graveyard shift and how two angels came out and told me that God loves me. Sorry, I got a personal message from God. I don't know if I ever told you that story, but if I didn't, one day I will. The one I wanted to tell you actually is actually a little bit simpler than that one. I was working and at the graveyard shift, and what ended up happening was it was snowing, icy, and I was a security guard, and I used to let the cars in and out, and I had to register cars in and say goodbye to the ones that were leaving and just be, that was my job, being there. And I recall, you know, we were very strict because there was an actual, the reason that, one of the reasons they hired us is because there was an actual, what do you call those, protests down the hill from where that convalescent home and was and assisted living. And so we had to register every vehicle. And I remember that I was, it was kind of like heavy traffic. There were some vehicles I needed to get in, some vehicles I needed to get out, and so on. And I was still kind of new to the job. So kind of managing that was a little bit difficult for me. Plus it was snowing and it was cold and it was just not the best, you know, weather in the world. This is Connecticut. And so at that particular moment, I went to open the actual gate and let a car out. But I told this gentleman to hold on because he had like a humongous Cadillac. And it took up like most of the road there. And so I wanted to let this little Toyota come out. And so I said, wait a minute. And when I said, wait a minute, I think he misunderstood me. And even though the other car kind of, you know, had to go around him, he pressed on his gas and accelerated. And next thing you know, I was about, you know, a couple feet up in the air. You know, I got hit by the vehicle and I'm rolling off his car, his big Cadillac. And I land on the snow. Thank God it was the snow. So it was a little bit softer than usual landing. And I'm like, what just happened? You know? At this time, I think it's kind of funny because, you know, it's like you hear, boo, ah, and then boom, and I fall on the floor and stuff like that. And I'm like, and so when I think about it, it's like, man, that's crazy. That happened to me. The funny part was that the gentleman, he stopped. He eventually stopped, but about maybe 50 or 60, maybe 100 feet from me. And he comes out of his car and he looks around. He says, did I hit something? And I raised my hand on the ground. I'm like, did he just say did he hit something? Did he ask that question? And I'm like, yeah, you hit me. Hello. But I'm on the ground. So I guess he didn't see me. He gets back in his car. He goes to his home there at the assisted living area. Needless to say, I did receive some, you know, some help and all that stuff, and I couldn't go to work for a couple days because I was messed up. I got injured, and they came in, had the whole file workers' comp and all this other stuff, and you know, there was pressure for me to go back to work, and they wasn't, and they told me, oh, don't go. My caseworker said, listen, don't go back to work because then the process of the claim will come in. Da da da. Well, I ended up having a lot more pain than I thought, but I couldn't afford, I didn't have health insurance at that time, so I couldn't go to the doctor or anything. And so I really was out of work for a couple of weeks. Well, you know, when you're out of work for a couple of weeks and a paycheck doesn't come in and you're used to paycheck, especially as a 19-year-old kid, you're just used to the paycheck. So, you know, you still have to pay bills. Bills just keep stacking up. So the immediate solution to that was credit card. So, you know, you use a credit card. Nah, pay this bill, pay that bill. But then that only lasts so long, right? Some people may understand me, some people may not. But I was trying to resolve my situation. And my situation was that I didn't even have money to pay my small balances, my minimum on my credit cards. Plus, I had to pay a car note. Plus, I had to pay all a bunch of other things. Long story short, I'm in my vehicle one day, and I was just desperate. And I was like, Lord, I need you to do something here. Like, I can't no more. Like, I don't know what to do. I've been trying to transfer money from one end to another and trying to not get this late fee or this balance and this bounce check and all this other stuff. And I don't even have food to eat. Like, what am I going to do? And I said, Lord, I'm begging you. I'm just humbly asking you, if you're there, please listen to me. Hear me out. I need some help. I need to go back to work. Well, at that particular moment, I said, you know what? Let me check the mailbox, see if anything came in. But normally, the people that I used to stay with, they already have checked it. It was already nighttime, so I know that they already checked the mailbox, but something told me to go check it anyways. So as I opened up the mailbox, to my surprise, there was a bunch of mail, like literally like a handful of mail in there. And that's kind of weird because normally my friends, they check their mail. And that's their thing. And I was like, So as I pull out the mail, all I keep seeing as I'm going through the mail, everything was addressed to me. And then on it, on the little corner, it kept saying the state of Connecticut, the state of Connecticut, the state of Connecticut, state of Connecticut. And it was about at least maybe 7 to 8 pieces of mail. So I start opening one up, and it's a check. And I'm like, really, Lord? Really? And I start opening the second one, and it's another check. And I start opening it. I had a total of 8 checks that came in the mail the same day. Now, I don't know if I was supposed to get one for every week that I missed out or whatever. But what I do know is that when I prayed, something happened. For a time like this, when I pray, something happened. Today's title, even though I have for a time like this, for this particular sermon, I retitled it, I guess you could say, if there's such a word. I titled it, God Will See a Way When You Pray. I like to rhyme things, okay? Sorry. But God will see a way when you pray. And so I really believe that God will see a way when we pray. So let us open our Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7. And see the attitude and direction that the Word of God explains to have when it comes to difficult times in our lives for a time like this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. You probably have heard this particular chapter, or I'm sorry, this particular verse numerous of times. It's pretty popular. But I want to bring it into context and then into the immediate context and then to the overall context so you can know exactly what this is pertaining to. Let us read together in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious about everything. Nothing. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, what are we supposed to do? Solve it ourselves? What does it say there? It says, in every situation, by prayer and petition. Some may say by prayer and supplication, right? With thanksgiving, present your request to Google, to God. Present it to God. And I love the second part, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, the first application or the first part of the context here, this is actually, Paul wrote this specifically, my friends, for a situation that was happening between two church members. I don't know if they weren't getting along because one said that makes bread better than the other, or maybe their wine was better than the other one. I don't know what the situation was. But obviously they weren't getting along. These two women were not getting along, and they were very dear to Paul. Like, hey, these two gospel workers, they're my friends. And unfortunately, they're not getting along. And so I need for them to get along. I need you guys to act and make sure that these two individuals get along, that they piece it up. And I'm just summarizing here from verse 2 and on. And so then he goes into how to go about reconciliation or reconciling them too. He says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And then he goes on to say something that's very particular. And then he mentions the verse in 6 and 7 where he says, hey, do not be anxious for anything. And so this verse, do not be anxious for anything. And then he says through prayer and supplication. and through thanksgiving. This is very important because this is the context of this verse. Normally we use it for, you know, like God saving type of stuff where we just come to prayer and God will answer our prayers and everything will be okay. But in actuality, it's actually a way to solve your problems with your friend. We're supposed to, whenever we have a problem with a friend, we're supposed to come, first of all, rejoice because God is good. Amen? And so we need to recognize that God can solve anything and can heal anything. And so we need to come to realization that to him is the glory first. And then we humble ourselves and we come to our friend. And maybe before we come to our friend, we should pray about it instead of coming with attitudes and I'm right and you're wrong type of attitude, right? Because sometimes our attitudes can be kind of not too good. Even if we're right, right? We should come with the right attitude. So that's why he says, hey, sometimes our problems between our friends, it builds up so much anxiety between us and we put these walls. He says, listen, none of that. Stop that. And it's when he says, come to the Lord with prayer. Come to the Lord with prayer to solve your issues with your friend. And supplication, when was the last time that we cried for a friend? When was the last time you cried for your brother and sister in Christ? When they were suffering. Well, for some of us, right, it was just recently with Joel's situation. I mean, it even got me. And so I can only imagine some of you who've known him for a long time. But when was the last time that we really came? And then the other thing is that he says about thanksgiving, you know, let us give thanks to God for the things that he's done for us in the past. You know, that's going to help us to understand who God is and how he works things out. And a lot of times we're so closed-minded when we have issues and problems that what we actually do is instead of, you know, coming with this attitude, we actually only look at our understanding. We only want people to understand us. I want you to understand my feelings, okay? Because my feelings were hurt. And so that is the context in which Paul was coming from with this particular verse. But there's also another context, and it is the big picture. And so he's speaking to the people of Philippi, to the Christians in Philippi. Okay, to the Philippians, if you like to call them. And these are the ironic part is that he's speaking to these about the situation, and they're known for their brotherly love, right? But unfortunately, there was no love there for a minute. And so, but in general, he's also speaking to the Philippians. And that's where I want to take it. For another time, another place and all that, we can talk about how to mend our relationships with our brothers and sisters. But for this particular sermon, I like to bring about the big picture. What is the big picture? Well, the Philippians or the church in Philippi, he's telling them to not be anxious, to not worry, to not waste your energy on your problems. So what things might they have been caring for, one might ask? Well, probably they were caring that they did not have the job they needed to bring home a good meal. Instead of using wheat, they were using barley. They were probably concerned that they didn't make enough money to pay the rent for the landlord or the rent that the landlord demanded because they were Christians. They probably got charged an extra tax because they weren't pagans like their landlord was. Maybe they didn't have the right clothes. Maybe they didn't wear the nice clothes. And so, again, they were outcast. And so that materialistic world or materialistic obstacle was a great worry for them. And so Paul is saying to them, do not be anxious. And so you may say, Pastor Omar, are you telling me not to worry about I'm going to pay my mortgage or how I'm going to help my family out or how am I going to get over, my situation? And so, yes, basically, that is exactly what I'm telling you, because God will see a way when you and I pray. See, the church in Philippi had some problems in their time. Their environment was very harsh for Christians because the citizens of Philippi worship other gods, and everyone needed to practice the same pagan worship. And if you're not asking for mistreatment and abuse by the people, okay, then that's what you needed to do. You needed to worship whoever they were worshiping. You needed to follow the rules that they had installed. You couldn't go out of boundary, out of bounds, as some may say, or out of the box. And so for them, they had a very difficult time. And so Paul went up to Philippi, and as a matter of fact, he got arrested there. And so he's not just talking from one perspective only. He's talking from knowing what it feels like to be incarcerated. He knows what it is to be harshly treated for believing in something different, for believing in one God. And so for him, and understanding where he's coming from, he can say, hey, do not worry. Do not be anxious. He can say that because he knows what that might feel like, being in jail, locked up, and not knowing when you're going to come out. You get anxious. I remember when I was a young person, a very, very young person, I made the mistake of trying to show off in front of my friends. And I put on this shirt, and I walked out into the mall, and showing my friends, hey, look at this. Like, I just walked out with this shirt because I wanted to be, you know, the example, bad example. Not good example, guys. Bad example. But I wanted to be cool. You know, I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be the leader. And so as I'm walking out, it was the funniest thing because as I'm walking out and they're like smiling at me, their faces come from smiling to, oh, no. And they just darted like roaches. You know, when roaches, you turn on the light, they just dart. They all darted. And I'm like, why are they? And I could just feel the presence. These two huge guys just come up, come with me. And they take me to the back, and my anxiety starts to roll up, and they're like, so what were you planning to do with that shirt, young man? And I'm like, oh, nothing. I was just showing it to my friends. Sure, you were showing it to your friends. Well, let's see the camera here. And they had cameras all over the place. Never think these Macy's and all these places, that they have cameras in the weirdest places. And I was just like, yeah, but, you know, I could pay for the shirt. He goes, oh, really? You could pay for the shirt? Then why were you taking it? And I was like, well, no, one of my friends got it. He goes, these friends? And all my friends are hopping on the bus. And I'm like, yeah, those friends. And so he goes, well, you had to sign some paperwork and all this other stuff. My anxiety was growing. And at that particular time, officer came, and he was very nice. He says, listen, I'm not going to take you through the store to embarrass you. I'm going to take you through the back end. And he took me through the back end, and he took me to the patrol car, and I'm like, my mom's going to kill me. My mom's going to kill me. That's all I could think of. My mom's going to kill me. And I started, you know, tearing. I wasn't crying, but I was tearing up. And he goes, oh, now you're tearing up? Now you're tearing up? You weren't tearing up before when you were taking the shirt. And I was like, officer, you don't understand. My mom's going to kill me. You might as well just kill me right now. Throw me in a lake, throw me in a river, whatever you need to do. Get rid of me. I do not want to see my mom. Well, they put me in a jail cell with some other inmates that were older than me. They didn't realize that I was young. And, you know, finally, like, hey, you're only, you know, 15 years old. You don't belong here. So they took me downstairs into a basement and put me in this room. And that was even worse. At least in the other one, I could talk to these guys. What are you in for? A shirt? I'm in for? It would have been a funny conversation. But at that particular moment, my anxiety just grew. I knew that my mom was going to come. And I didn't want her to come. And I was waiting as the hours passed. And so you get this anxiety. It just builds up. It builds up. It builds up. Until finally they said, your mother's here. And I was like, oh, no, my mom. I was like, go. And they were trying to pull me out because I just knew my mom. You know, my mom's 4'11", little lady. But she's a terror when it comes to spanking. She barely spanked me, but she's, yeah. And I was just like, I was so embarrassed, I remember. And at that particular moment, that anxiety that I felt, I just, when my mother was behind all the officers, because it was huge officers, and it was like the Red Sea. It just split open, and I saw my mother's face. And we just looked at each other, and she at first didn't say nothing. And so she just nodded, like, and did the thing with the lips, like she's going to come and get me. And at that particular moment, like, I told the officer, I said, please keep her away from me. And he didn't understand what I really meant by that. But the minute that she parted and she got in front of the first one and I was on the opposite side, she came over and she started trying to hit me, right? and she's so little, so they pulled her back. These big guys pulled her back and said, ma'am, you can't do that here because then we're going to have to take you in too. And she's like, okay, okay. And then she came back again. It was like a movie. It was hilarious. Now I think about it. But the anxiety that I felt of trying to see how I'm going to say to my mom, you know, and look at my mom in her face and let her know that I failed her, that I messed up, and knowing that I was going to get it, you know, that she raised me better than this. And I was just like, I didn't know what to do. Well, yeah, I did. I surely did get it when I got home. She made sure that, you know, I did get it. And the crazy thing is, the reason I say this, my friends, and I don't even know, a lot of times we feel this anxiety that's running over us. And some of it is sometimes because of our own doing. Okay, some of it is because we messed up, right? We made the wrong decisions in life. But in this case, with the Philippians, the church in Philippi, it wasn't the case here. They were dying for a cause. There was something to live for and to die for. But it was tough. It was hard on them, my friends. It's not like us right now sitting here comfortably and being able to praise and worship the Lord. It wasn't that easy. And so at this particular moment, Paul understands. He's in jail. He's out of jail and he's writing to them. And he's, listen, if there's anybody that knows, I know. So what you have to do is when things, problems come about, God will see a way when you pray. And so, see, the church was going through all this, but he was trying to encourage his church and let them know, hey, even though I've been locked up and I've been in jail and I've been starving and I've been feeling lonely, and even though I'm not sure what's going to happen tomorrow, but do not be anxious because God will see a way when you pray. Satan basically wants us to worry. He wanted them to worry about the cares of the world living in the city of paganism. He looks for us to be distracted by small things in life when we should be looking at the bigger picture. Jesus told his people in Matthew 6:25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. And so Paul is encouraging the same thing here. He says, do not be anxious. The moment you become anxious about the things of this world, Satan has you on a trap. He has you on a trap. He has us. You know, like the little fly, he'll continue. And then when he falls in the trap and he's stuck, that's how he gets us. Caring about the things of this world. The moment that we do that, he knows. And so because he knows, it is the root to start disconnecting us from the actual source that gives us and provides us with the way out and the source that we really need. Yet when we are not anxious, my friends, when we don't let things bother us, when we don't allow anxiety to set in us, we're telling Satan, hey, someone else governs my life. Not the things of this world, but God. And if we are in lacking of material things, including food, my friends, God will see a way. God will see a way. So the question might be then, where do I focus? How can I focus? And so Paul continues in the verse with the second application. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but instead in every situation, you know, those tough ones that I just mentioned, but in every situation, pray. Now, when I looked up the word anxious in the original language and in Greek, there's two options that you can actually elect there in that particular verse. There is anxious, like anxiety, anxious, and then there's the care of. So I want to give you a brief illustration. Anxious, the care of is, for example, you can care of the things of this world. For example, I care that my son, you know, does well in school. I care that my wife is, you know, she eats, she has a roof over her head. There's certain things that you care of that it's okay to care of, right? I want to make sure that if I see a child crossing the street by himself, I go and I take care of him and I help him cross the street. Care is not a bad thing, my friends. You can care for the things that you need to, that you can control to a certain extent. Okay? There's certain things that you can control. But when you can't control anything, my friends, you have two options. You either surrender it to the Lord or you deal with anxiety. And that's the one that Paul elected here. Anxious. The anxiety that builds up. The fear that builds up. And that does not come from God, my friends. That does not come from... Anxiety does not come from God. God never created us to be anxious. So he says there, when you feel this anxiety, when you start to experience anxiety in your life that you have no control of, then what can we do? What do we do? I love it here because, again, God will see a way when you pray, is what he tells you. Paul knows that the church is going through some trials and tribulations, and the best advice he can give is don't worry. God will see a way when you pray. And yes, he's absolutely right. Paul understands and lives by the promise found in Matthew 6:33, which says what? But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Amen. And his righteousness, and all things shall be what? Added unto you. And how do we seek the kingdom of God, my friends? Well, Paul would answer straight up. He would just say, through prayer. Through prayer, you seek the kingdom of God. And so, the first thing we should seek is not the actual kingdom of God per se, but his presence, God's presence. Because in his presence, we will find his righteousness, which will clear our minds from committing mistakes after mistakes and drowning in a cup of water. And then because we're drowning in a cup of water, we commit sin after sin after sin. And it almost feels like we're helpless because we're just full of sin. All because we did not seek first the kingdom of God. And then that's why Satan, it feels like we're stuck and we're trapped and we come to church and we play church and we play good person. But in reality, inside, we're rotten because this sin is living in us. We're trapped. We keep sinning because we don't know how to let go of the anxiety and give it and surrender it to God. And the anxiety causes depression. And then we go to the hospital or we'll go to the ER and they tell us, well, you know, you're just having some problems. Let me give you some, you know, some medication. And then we get on the medication and the medication doesn't do good for our bodies. It messes up our clear thinking and then it messes our clear thinking and we make more mistakes and we get in a deeper hole to the point where we feel like the only solution is suicide. When all we had to do is surrender it to God. And pray. And pray. The question is, how is our prayer life today? Did we pray and seek God this morning? See, Paul understood that not just in the darkest, unjustly hours we look for God, but in everyday life. Because God will see a way when we pray. We just have to take the time to pray. That's it. It is not that God does not know of your problem, but he wants you to acknowledge him as that awesome friend ready to bail you out. No ifs or buts. Ready to make something out of nothing. And so prayer connects you and I to the source of life. Prayer reroutes your anxiousness into total dependency of God. Prayer eases the mind and allows it to take what is negative into a positive. And so why because God will see a way when you and I pray. And so the third application is right after prayer and explains how we should pray. And this one is with supplication. Some call it begging. But I tend to like asking for something earnestly, fervently, passionately, humbly. When was the last time we knelt down in supplication to God? Maybe it was this week when we heard about Joel's situation or Becky's situation. Maybe. Or maybe your prayer was short. Maybe it was just, hey, God, you know, Joel's pretty bad. Help him. In the name of Jesus, amen. I don't know. He does hear that too. Amen. But there's a difference. There's a difference when we ask with supplication. Just completely open our hearts to Him with a passion, with a humbleness, and pray your most earnest prayer. There was a time in my life in a situation where I needed to get down on my knees and pray with that. And it started a whole journey for me. It was like the beginning of everything for me, even though it seemed to me like almost the end. But when I first had my first son, well, I didn't have the son. Barbara had the son. But when we had our first son, we were actually in the middle of a big, I don't know if it was a youth evangelism, but it was an evangelism that our church was having. It was huge. We had tarps outside. We'd gone through so much. It was almost a whole month of just evangelism. And the whole community was behind us. I mean, it was huge in the middle of the city. This is Hartford, Connecticut, where it was at that time, it was just getting over being one of the, being the top cities with the most homicides, beating out Chicago. And so we had this huge campaign. The devil didn't want us to have this evangelism series, but my wonderful wife put it together, and with the help of all these other brothers and sisters, and we had it. And I remember that a few weeks in, she had to give labor. She had to go into labor, and she had Xavier, and I remember all like the 10 hours or so that she went through all the whole labor thing, for us to then hear that my son needed a surgery, just being born, already needing a surgery. And that night, I just couldn't, I was like, man, already? My wife hasn't even been able to like hold him and just be with him, like, and already he needs a surgery? And so I'm walking down, I was getting her some water. She was, you know, she was thirsty. And as I was walking by, I saw the x-rays and the two gentlemen, I believe they were doctors, talking about my son and what they were, the procedure that they were going to do for the next day. Now, that was Friday night, and they had told us about the whole thing, and they said, hey, listen, tomorrow you're free to go. You know, she was free to go. We'll do the surgery. We'll give you a call. But I remember as she was getting rest, I went and I passed by, and I saw these two doctors speaking, and I saw what they were saying and how they needed to connect this tube and all this other stuff. And I was like, let me go pray. Maybe something can happen. And so I go to pray, and I say, Lord, listen, I don't know what to tell you. I'm thankful for the son that you've given me. But really, he's not even a day old almost, or 2 days old, and he already has to go through surgery. And I said, please, Lord, if you can do anything, I don't want my wife to suffer so quickly. Please, if you could do anything. And I prayed and I cried and I prayed. It was my first time doing something like that in that manner. And I got up and I felt like the Lord just heard me that night. So we go to church next morning. Man, my friends, they continue on the evangelism series. The praise team was popping. Everything was just nice, beautiful day. The weather was perfect. Wasn't too hot. The church, the whole tarp outside, everything was full. I mean, it was just, we were just praising the Lord. In the middle of praising the Lord, because everybody, they realized that Barbara and I were there, and they couldn't believe that, you know, she was out of the hospital already and all that. In the middle of praising the Lord, my phone starts ringing. I get a little vibrate. And that was when we had them flip phones, the razors. So I'm trying to hear them out. I'm like, hey, hold on a second. So I'm getting out of the praise and worship. And the doctor's like, is this Mr. Rodriguez? I said, yes, this is Mr. Rodriguez. Xavier is your son? Yes, Xavier is my son. Okay, I just wanted to confirm with you. I got to tell you something. We went and we prepared him to have surgery today. But something unusual happened. And I said, my heart dropped because I said, something happened to my son. He says, I want to let you know that we didn't have to do surgery today. You can come pick up your son. Come see your son. And I was like, what? And I couldn't believe it. I said, Lord, you listen to my prayer? Really? And I was like, he did listen to my prayer. And I went with joy and I told my wife, baby, guess what? And she's like, well, you know, because the music was so loud. She's like, we don't have to do the surgery. She's like, wow, oh my goodness. And we're just like hugging each other. She was so happy. The Lord cares about our prayers, my friends. We can see that through the miracle that happened this week. The Lord cares to hear about your supplication, the earnest, humble prayer that we have in our hearts. He cares. And so that is why it's so important to not just pray, because anybody can just pray, but pray with supplication, with humbleness and earnesty, and be able to come to the foot of the cross. I mean, Jesus there, right? Know that we can come and just surrender ourselves, which brings us to the next application, which is thanksgiving. In other words, Paul was saying, when you feel anxious, begin to praise God instead. Praise God because you are thankful for all that he has done for you in the past. And so we may ask, is Paul crazy? How can I praise God and give him thanks when I can't even find a job? Or how can I praise God and give him thanks when I'm struggling with my health? Or when I can't even get this son of mine to do what I need him to do? Or when I'm not even sure of myself, when I am just at my worst? How can I just praise God and give him thanks when my marriage is in pieces, when my finances are not even enough? And so I only have 5 words for you today, my friends. And that is, God will see a way. God is basically telling the church in Philippines, look, you have come this far. I have come this far. We have been mistreated. We have survived. We have no money, but we strived. We have differences, but we have surpassed them. God has done so many things before what makes us think that he cannot do it again. So let us remember those blessings and give thanksgiving, because we know we have victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. God will give us the victory in the future if he's given it to us in the past. God will see your way. I want to give you this verse so that you can understand about, so that we can understand today about how it is that we praise God, even in the difficult times. I admire many of you and a lot of my church members. I know I say that sometimes we come to church. I said that we come to church and we're brokenhearted and we're decomposing inside. It feels as though we can't anymore on our own. And we put up a smile, we come to church, and we may put up this big front sometimes. But you know why we come to church? Because church is a refuge. They're supposed to be a place of refuge. There shouldn't be anything but love in church. But sometimes we come and carry all these things inside of us, and we don't know how to smile sometimes because we're suffering inside. People don't know, and we don't want people to know, because we don't, sometimes it's not that we think we're too good to share, right, our pain. It's not that. It's that I don't want to give you my pain. Why should I give you my pain, right? And sometimes we feel that way. We don't want to share our pain with each other. We're afraid of that. We're afraid of being vulnerable sometimes and being honest. You know, we don't like to be honest. You know, who here wants to say, oh, I'm in $1 million debt? No one wants to say that, right? No one wants to say, oh, you know, I'm struggling in my job, you know, or I'm struggling in my marriage. No one wants to come in here and say that. That's hard. I'm struggling in school. No one wants to say that. But we all can say what the psalmist said here. In the book of Psalms, chapter 5, verse 11, David says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name will exalt you. And so no matter the pain, no matter the suffering, no matter what we're going through, we come to church because we want to exalt the one that has given us so much. He's given us the salvation that we need. He took us from nothing and made us into something, and allowed us to be called children of God. Allow us to call him Father. And so we may ask ourselves, so God will see a way to what? Because if God will see a way to what? What is my answer for today? And so I want to finish with this. Let us read it together. Verse 7. And find out what does God really want us to see here. He says in verse 7. And the peace of God. Whose peace? Is it the peace of, is it the peace of the public speaker that we like to listen to pump us up and get us through the day? Is it the peace of being able to look up the solution to my disease and try to see if I can get better through all these other means? Is that the peace that we're looking up for? Is it the peace of the financial person on Instagram, you know, the guru, the financial guru that's telling us that we need to invest our money this way and that way and this is how we get out of debt? Is that who gives us the peace? No, my friend. It says here, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, surpasses Google, Wiki, whatever, all that stuff, my friends. All understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, God will see a way to what? He'll see a way to give you a peace of mind which surpasses all understandings. How many times do we say, man, I just got out of one mess and now I'm in another. I don't understand this, God. I don't understand where you're taking me. I don't understand why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. How is it that you're going to allow Brother Joel to go through what he's going through? He does Bible study on Wednesdays. He teaches the class. He helped us on Fun Day. He was just with us. He was just walking the neighborhood saying hello to people. I mean, like, he's trying to spread your gospel. How can you allow? And we were just talking about this. How can you allow bad things happen to good people? I want to tell you something today, my friends. And it is this. Our behavior, most of the time, can determine to a certain extent the outcome. You know, if you genuinely are good at finances and you pay your bills on time and you do certain things, right, the right way, you know, you have your house, you pay your mortgage on time and you pay your car note on time and everything's on time, your credit score most likely will be what? Pretty good, right? That's the outcome, right? Due diligence and you do it right, your credit score will be good. But what happens when someone hijacks your account and hijacks your credit and messes everything up? What happens then? What happens to your credit score? Even though you did everything right in the beginning, right? The outcome doesn't match, right? You have good and you have bad. Now you have a bad credit score, but in reality, you've been pretty good for all your time, for all your life. Satan has hijacked our world. He's hijacked our world, and he's messed it up so much that even when you're a good person and when somebody that relies on God, he'll make everything possible to mess things up for you, to make it look like you're like, but this doesn't make sense. I don't understand. It's why a lot of people do not come to church, my friends. It's why a lot of people do not want to surrender to God, because they think that the devil has hijacked everything so much. Even in the church, he's messed things up so bad that we don't even know how to discern, because we're not seeking it. And we don't know, and what we call good is bad, and what is bad we call good. Even though we might come with good intentions. Because that's how much the devil has hijacked even the church, even the very elect. And so we have to have this in mind, that the understanding of God surpasses every one of our understandings. But look what it says here in the second part, which is the most important one. And that is, it will guard our minds of having doubt in Jesus Christ. See, at the end of it all, I don't know if you guys recall in John 14:1, when the disciples were very confused about everything that was happening. You know, Jesus said, hey, I got to go, guys. I got to, you know, sacrifice myself and all this other stuff. And I'll be raised up, and don't worry about it. And they just became anxious. They started worrying. They're like, wait a minute. And Jesus is like, listen, you can't control this. This has to happen. And they're like, but wait a minute. Why are you leaving us? And he's like, listen, do not worry. If you believe in God, then also believe in me. Why? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so when he was explaining that to his disciples, Paul probably wasn't there, right? He wasn't there, but the Holy Spirit speaks to his mind and says, tell the people not to be anxious, just to pray. To pray, because that's all that Jesus wanted when he was in Gethsemane. Pray. Pray for me. Pray for strength. Pray for my brother. Pray for each other. Pray. Supplication. Pray. Give thanksgiving. Remember the things that God has done. And then you will have peace. You will have peace because God will give you peace. Because you know who's in control. When you pray, you're telling God you are in control. And when you tell God that he's in control, everything changes. It's like Satan takes a step back. He's like, oh, that's God. Okay, let me just take a step back here. And when God is in control, my friends, not only does the peace come, but also the assurance that this is a bigger picture than what we thought. So yeah, we may go through a lot of things down here, but at the end of the day, the bigger picture is this. God will see a way. And so by committing to prayer, God will see a way. By commitment to supplication, God will see a way. By committing to thanksgiving and praise, God will see a way. His way is peace that will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. And that is how, and this is how, you can avoid anxiety and shift your focus and believe that God will see a way, for the day and the hour is near that he will come and he will end everything. He will stop the tears. He will stop the hunger. He will put an end to heart attacks, to strokes, to COVID. He'll put an end to all of this, my friends. And that's the bigger picture that I wanted to show you today. When we pray, God will see a way. Do you want to see how God will see a way for you today and always? Then let us begin with the prayer. God in heaven, at this moment, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to witness miracles after miracles in our lives. We thank you because your church responded with prayer for Joel. And we are able to see how you made a way. This should give us more faith as we move forward in these tribulous times, in these difficult and uneasy times, Father. It's not going to get easier. It's actually going to get tougher. And there is one day that we will be persecuted. The persecution may come in different forms, but there is a day that we will be persecuted. And all we will have is prayer. All we will have is each other. As we pray fervently, as we pray earnestly, as we pray desperately for your coming. We want you to come soon, Lord, but we need to learn how to be connected to you, the source of life, the way, the truth, and the life. And so help us to see that. Now, we may be asking for more than we can handle at times, but the honest truth is we need to live up to these words in which we pray no matter what happens, in which we supplicate no matter what, in which we give thanksgiving no matter what happens, because you understand everything. And at the end of it all, Father, you will see a way in which we'll enter those pearly gates and be able to be with you for an eternity. We love you, Father. Thank you so much for what you do for us. Forgive us for our doubting and forgive us for our lack of. But let it be today the day in which we know you will make a way for us. We love you and we thank you. And we pray for all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Let's stand while we sing our closing song, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Sweet hour of prayer, may I love. shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Let us pray. Actually, I'm sorry. Bill, can you come up here? I heard that you were going away and this is your last Sabbath with us. I know you were praying for him, but I want to pray a little bit in this conclusion prayer for you too.
Amen. Thank you.
Heavenly Father in heaven, we conclude today here at church with thankfulness for prayer. We thank you for prayer and being able to come to you boldly to the throne and bring you our petitions. Father, in this moment, I want to pray for our brother Bill as he's heading out to do your work. May you bless his ministry. May you bless him over there. Protect him with everything, Father. We know being far away how many things can happen. And so we just want you to protect him in his journey to spread the gospel to the world. I also want to pray, Father, for Joel and continuing his journey as well and recuperating, and for our sister Becky as well, and for anyone else here who is also dealing with any physical or anything at all, as well as spiritual battles. Father, may we always come to you in prayer first, seeking for your wisdom, your guidance, and your love. Thank you for all that you do for us. Allow us to have a wonderful Sabbath, enjoy this beautiful windy day, and just be able to rest in your arms. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, good thing.